Sunday morning, December 6th.
Yeah, I believe it is, yeah. It's my mother's birthday.
Oh.
She would have been 121 years old.
Oh, wow.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service today, our meeting. These are hard times. It's a hard time. So, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that you would help each one with a burden, that you would help to carry that burden, O Lord, that your presence would be there. And, oh, my, when we feel your strength, your love, your goodness, your Father's love for us, oh, that is so good. It is so good. So, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that that Father's love would be in abundance, both today and in our lives, in these difficult times, difficult month, difficult season. Do that good work by your Spirit. And, Lord, that there would be a flow of your truth today, a flow of light upon your word in our service today, by your Spirit. Amen.
Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. Well, I don't remember exactly where that is in Genesis, but the only thing we find, the only place we find it is in Genesis and in Galatians. And that I can find. And anyway, he that was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? Which means what? What's that mean, allegory?
Oh, kind of a type or a parable, or, you know, it would be a story intended to convey a truth.
Okay. These are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which generous to bondage, which is Agar. In Genesis, it's Hagar, H-A-G-A-R. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. In answer to Jerusalem, which thou is and is in bondage with her children. One of them is in Arabia, but the counterpart is Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bears not, break forth and cry, thou that travails not. For the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. Now we children, or brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Okay, so it's Genesis 21:9. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, the reason that I was looking that up, this is something that happened early this morning, is the fact that the Muslims were the heirs of Ishmael. And so the Muslims feel that Abraham is their father, just like the Christians do. You know, we see Abraham as our father. The Muslims see him as their father also. However, did you see what I said, what it read? the son of the bond woman shall not be heir with a son of the free woman. And so, does the lineage make any difference? Does it make any difference whether it's Ishmael or Isaac? Ishmael was older than Isaac. Does it make a difference?
Mm-hmm. I believe it does.
Says it.
Apparently makes all the difference.
So are the Muslims then heirs of the promise too?
Well, they made some alterations here in the Quran, and according to it, they hold a preeminent position, but...
Which means what?
They're going to win and we're going to lose.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, and so eventually, if they have a chance... The Muslims will control the universe, or the world, anyway. And I was looking at that in relationship to what is happening even in this country. There's a large percentage of Muslims that are in Minnesota, and... But are they saved? Are they the same as Christians?
No.
We have freedom of religion in America, at least. They call it freedom of religion, but you know what? That's not the thing that we have was not what started out back in the 1500s or 1600s or whenever we started, 1700s. When did we start? I don't know. The freedom of religion was based upon this Bible that we have. It wasn't based on the Quran. It wasn't based on any private interpretations. As a matter of fact, when our country began, the first school book they had was the Bible. And that's what they used.
Well, thank God it's not based on the Quran. Doesn't it say in there that when women bleed that time of month, they're supposed to sleep outside with the goats?
That sounds fun. That'd be a really quick way to check who's in control of the world. Tell me to sleep with the goats.
First, you've got to find the goat.
Yeah. Someone will be with the goat.
So I'm saying, is the Quran on an equal basis to the Bible?
Depends on who you ask.
Well,
I don't know that much about this.
Well, I'm asking us.
Oh, yeah.
I would say no, obviously. Yeah.
I
know the answer.
The Quran is the true word of our God.
Pardon?
The Quran is not the true word of our God.
No, it is not. Oh. It is not the word of God. And so for us to say we don't want freedom of religion, which means the freedom for the Muslims to have what they believe, and this would be, that is not the way it started out. That's the way when we had freedom of religion in our Constitution or whatever, we're talking about the Bible. We're not talking about all these other things. And it really hit me early this morning. I thought, what right do we have to change God? Or to change what he says? That's the way it is. That's the way it's always going to be. And I'm not real eager to be close buddies to the Muslims and the Quran. I'm not. I won't say more of what I want to say.
This probably isn't the building to do it in.
No, it's being taped.
Right.
Each religion believes they have the correct answer.
Pardon?
Each religion believes that they have the right answers. You know, that religion A is better than religion B and so forth. So whatever religion you're in, if you're taught you got the right answer, that's what you're going to believe.
Is that the way we should see it?
Well, on a mundane secular level, I guess, yeah. When the Muslims have the freedom to worship as they see fit, that is a kind of protection for us. Because if they are protected, then so are we.
Well, we should be. But I'm afraid the way it's looking that we're going to lose that.
Well, that'll be the Antichrist, right?
Huh?
That'll be the Antichrist.
Well, yeah, well, that's what he does. But I don't want to lose the freedom. You know, I was over in Switzerland. And I felt sorry for Walter Niederhauser because he was kind of telling me that he's limited. There's only some things he can preach, some things he can't preach because the government won't let him. And they insist that he preaches the Trinity, but he don't believe in the Trinity. So what he has to do is kind of sneak it around, you know, in what he's saying. And we had deliverance down in a bomb shelter because if he was caught doing that, they'd remove him from the pulpit. You can't have deliverance over there.
So that was government?
Government.
Oh, okay.
That's government. And I don't. Do they have a king? What do they have in Switzerland?
They do have a king.
A what?
I think there is a king in Switzerland. I think. What?
I mean, like, religion itself, when I was growing up, I went to school, and one of my best friends was Jehovah's Witness. And she, that's when we said the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, and she couldn't say it, she just sat there. The thing was, we're all little kids, we never thought anything of it, she was just our friend. You know, that was her religion, she stood by it. We had Catholics, we had Lutherans, we had Presbyterians, we had the whole variety. There were no Muslims, because I don't think, you know, anybody talked about Muslims. Nobody ever thought of, I think we all thought, in a sense, we were a melting pot, that everyone just believed in God, but in different ways. So, it's kind of different. I'm not sure if specifically you're talking now about just the Muslims that are kind of in a sense taking over? Is that where you're at?
Well, we have Amy, whatever, what is her name, her last name? That's on the Supreme Court.
Coney Barrett?
Barrett, yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway, she's a spirit-filled Catholic.
Right.
And it's like you look at her and you know that if God would have found 10 more like her in Sodom and Gomorrah, he never would have destroyed it. Or 9 more. You know what I mean? You can see the glory of God all over her. And so being Catholic is not really a problem. It's who this person is.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I'm saying... The Bible is what God has given us as truth. And it says in John 17:17, it says, sanctify them through, Jesus is praying, sanctify them through your truth, your word is truth. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm basing my soul on it.
That's funny. We've been talking about a lot of the same things because I'm going through still things with Justin and all kinds of things with our stuff. And we've spent a lot of our time just reading the Bible and listening and focusing and trying to find anything. And one thing that's hit me very, very, very differently in my need to have some kind of control over the situation or anything is like the sower sowing the seed part, and where he says that he sowed the seed and that he did the good seed, and this an evil man came and he sowed tares among the wheat in Matthew 13 and went his way. But when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, it also appeared the tares. And the servants of the household came and said unto him, didn't you sow only good seed in the field? Why is there tares? And he said, the enemy has done this. And the servant said unto him, do you want us to go and gather them up? And he said, no, lay rest, lest when we gather up the tares, we also uproot the wheat that we have with them. Let them grow together, and in the harvest, in the time of the harvest, we will reap them up together and gather first the tares and bind them and burn them, and then gather the wheat together into my barn. Yeah. And then it says again later, it explains that the seed is and the wheat are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the evil one, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So I think that it isn't in any way, everybody is brainwashed right now by the devil, realistically. And when you're told something and raised on something, that's what you believe, and they have no idea. No, I don't think that Muslims are like, we're doing this against God. They don't. That's what they believe, and that's how it is. But then it also says in Second Chronicles, if I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send my pestilence among the people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear them from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Yep. So that's been my very hard thing of it. He's going to rain on the just and the unjust.
Yep.
And in the end, everybody is going to have to answer for what they believe.
So I came across the scriptures in the beginning of Acts. This is Jesus speaking. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, this is the disciples and whoever, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. And then he goes on to say, you shall receive power, and so forth. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of America? He doesn't have an answer. Because that's not where it's at. He just said there, the kingdom of God. You know, that's where you're going to go. That's what you want. And that can be anywhere. And as far as, like, who's going to say what or against you, or when Peter and them got brought in, they said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So,
when Jerome was healed, I was a Trinitarian. And which gave me a little bit of a different look at things, because when I'm looking at Amy Barrett, and I realize she's a spirit-filled Catholic. But if she's spirit-filled, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide her to truth. So one day she may not be a Catholic. Or maybe the Catholics will change. You know, who knows what's going to happen. But, and by the way, she has been designated to oversee the voting thing in Wisconsin. And I was really happy to hear that. You heard it, didn't you? Yeah. And because this has been one of the worst misses I've ever heard of. And I don't know, there's going to be a lot of people going to be angry all over the nation. one way or another.
But it still comes down to who's in control.
Amen. I do think the that parable of the wheat and the tares has relevance to this question, though. It, you know, he didn't tell the wheat, go after the tares and destroy them here, you know.
Or convince them to be wheat.
They're to, under the terms of that parable, and, you know, it's a little hard to know just what applies to what. But let the Lord sort it out in his good time, I think is the general message. You know, we have a good God who whose time is good. Now, you know, how far you extend that principle, I don't know. There surely is such a thing as extending it too far.
I think everybody has a chance to know the real God. And it's their choice. If they do choose, wonderful. If they don't, then God will deal with them. You know? So it's not up to us to decide.
People also said in the Bible, let his blood be on us and on our children and on our children's children. So they curse generations and generations. Mm-hmm. And those things are in there. But I think that as much as I'd love to say I'm guessing or anything or assuming, mm-hmm. when he said in here, he sent to the multiples and declared, they said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered to them and he said, he that sows the seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed the seed is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and that which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the Son of the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So it's that right there. I don't have to guess what any part of that meant because he said it right here. It's that's pretty comforting because I could take that 1,000 different ways, and I have. I have. But it's kind of hard to judge with that one.
Yeah.
Or say it's anything different when he says that's who each person is and that's what the parable is, and then you read that parable again.
So, during the disciples' times in Jesus, who were the ones that were the persecutors? Part of it was their own countrymen, their own lived. The other was what? Probably the Romans, for the most part, because they ruled the whole region. So, did that stop anything, as far as God was concerned?
Mm-hmm.
No. Did they get persecuted? You better believe it. Did they get martyred? Yes. But the word of God still went on. And the kingdom of God still continued. So it's like, so if the Muslims or the Romans or whatever, that's not really, should be our total concern. Our concern should be that we witness and stand for our God, as we know in this Bible, and for his Son, Jesus Christ. You know? Because you're not, I don't know that God really wants you to topple governments. He wants you to reach souls. He's not worried about who's ruling on the earth. So he rules the earth. He rules the heavens, you know. So I don't know if I'm maybe going off the wrong track with all that, but I keep looking in the Word to see where is my priorities. And they're not with politics. You know? They're with the gospel. They're with the kingdom of God, which is not any country, whatever, ruler. You know? The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God. And yes, do I want to stick up for rights as much as, you know, without getting totally taken away with it? I don't, that's the one thing. I don't want to get caught up in that. You know, if this country is changing because of the enemy or whatever, well, then God's allowing it. And it's maybe to test us, to make us stronger. Because in the end, we still win. You know? And a lot of human beings lose, which nobody wants to hear, but that's why we all have free choice and a will, you know? So, see, God doesn't say because Muslims or anybody else wants to take away your freedom of your religion that you have to obey it, you know, in your heart.
That's happened in the Bible before.
Yeah. It just says, you just need to keep believing me, you know? And if you keep believing me, it says, I'll bless you, you know? So, but I don't know what that blessing might be, because in God's terms, it might not be anything like I think. You know, but yeah, I think this is, we're coming to a time, this is going to test us, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it is, and it's going to be where really is your heart.
You better be strong in the Word of God so you know.
And I'm probably stepping out of here a little bit, maybe almost as a possible exhortation or whatever, but you should not let your heart get caught up by government, politics, any of that sort. It'll taint you. It'll send you off wanting to do this and that instead of being for God. Mm-hmm. You know?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's like a lot of temptations, you know? It's all just things that distract you from the gospel.
Yeah.
The devil wants to do with fear.
I'm far from walking in whatever I'm talking. You know?
Right.
Trying to get there.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I got weak areas. I'm still giving in to temptations I don't want to. But I'd rather be fighting those temptations than fighting any of this other. You know? Because this other doesn't matter to my soul if I, you know, I want to stay pure. I need to fight those temptations, keep going before God, keep being in His Word, keep gaining truth. Because the more truth you have, the more solid you'll stand in the end, you know.
The more temptation you can overcome.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. Somehow, I know that I'm not putting myself in the place, and I've read the scripture countless times, and it bothers me every time I do. God will never give you more than you can handle. He will never tempt you beyond what you can handle. Well, that's if I'm in His total care, hands, and I have not put myself there. You know, because if I had, I wouldn't be able to turn these things away. But the potential is there, and it's gaining, you know. And as long as I'm aware of that's where I want to be, then I believe, you know, you have a covering, mm-hmm. You know. You're still walking with God because you don't, you know, it's like Paul says in 6 and 7 in Romans and that, you know, yeah, the things that I want to do, Well, if you don't want to do them, and you might still be, you are still being more spiritual than natural, or you wouldn't care about doing them, you know? So that's the big thing there, and gosh, the devil wants to use that. That's why it says, for therefore is no kind of, you don't let the devil condemn you because you might still give in because you have Jesus Christ who will renew you every day if you just come and repent. His blood will cleanse you and then you're not a slave to the enemy. You know? That's you know, I forget that sometimes, but that's the backbone of it, you know?
We've gone through a couple really intense deliverances with Jasper this last week, and he has a very hard time and has definitely got a lot of things that plague him pretty hardcore. And we praying, and the more that I tried to pray against these things, the worse it got. And then I realized there also was definitely more things in me trying to cast things out in him. And so instead of in any way trying to cast anything out, I just prayed with him and told him, and kept, as this was speaking at me, the Spirit through him, and kept saying, Jasper, you can do this. Inside of you, you need to fight this. Everything inside of you, you need to. You can do this. And this, it was bad. It was really bad. And I think this is the first time that he's fully witnessed somebody in a complete demonic manifestation telling me that Satan is his master, my poor 6-year-old child. to the point that I finally, Jasper was, and I got Jasper to say, thank you, Jesus. And it flipped like a switch. It took everything in Jasper, and after he was defeated, but he had to internally fight everything because I couldn't. And it was a really good thing and has helped a lot with him. And I think the greatest piece of that and knowing that God's doing that work is Justin called me yesterday and told me that he was freaking out and blah, blah, blah. And we had a conversation and I finally said, Justin, pray. This is a spirit. Me in the middle of Walmart in the self-checkout, so all the people around me got to watch, which was really fun. But I said, Justin, pray. Yeah. And at first he was like, well, he's going to be grounded from everything and blah, blah, blah. And Jasper's screaming in the background. I said, Justin, you know what this is. And finally he said, he agreed. Mm-hmm. And he prayed with Jasper, and that is a victory for God. If that is a victory against the devil in every aspect, and if he can come against it, then maybe Justin can come against the things in himself. So that overpowering, so I've tried to do that with myself. I have so many temptations, and instead of no or fighting it or something, I've tried so hard to just empower my soul every single time, and it's been really hard, but so much easier, because I can't fight it. I'm not fighting a demon.
Yeah.
Me physically, I can't. I'll give in. I will give in every time and twice on Sunday. But the second I start filling myself up and building my own soul instead of trying to fight, I can't fight on my own. I can only fight and beg God to fight it for me.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Power comes from Him.
Right.
Strength comes from Him.
Right. I'm nothing, but that's why I like that verse that says, if my people call by name, it's not if they will get stronger and do more things or do better things or do something. No, it's just if they will humble themselves and pray.
But you're doing exactly what, you know, God wants, in the sense, I mean, He wants you to call on Him.
I'm trying.
I know.
Not quite doing, but trying.
It truly
is.
Right. I mean, I've been in, yeah, we've all been.
It's hard.
And it's hard. It's sort of like, well, it's like you're trying to think of what can I do to help myself, and you can't think of one thing. And you're going, just call on the name
right.
of Jesus. And you're going, never thought of that. And sometimes it's not until somebody else.
Well, and it feels a lot more like you're not doing something.
Yeah.
It feels a lot more like, but okay, I'm going to call on God and you answer it, but I'm also going to do these seven things just in case you don't answer it. And that is not faith.
But
it doesn't feel good to sit in the, ugh.
No.
But God can do a lot of work.
Right.
We've had to do a little bit with you, too.
Yeah, I've had a lot of.
That little meme is a big, big thing.
You know, to go back with the scriptures that Keith opened up with. So there is Ishmael.
Yeah.
But there's Isaac. Who does God favor?
Yeah.
Right? Ishmael doesn't win in the end.
But whoever humbles themselves and pray. My people
yeah.
called by my name.
I mean, you know, we aren't children if we're professing unto God and have accepted Jesus Christ. You're not of the bondwoman. You're of the free. So that's what we got to keep reminding ourselves of. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. God's still going to favor you.
And
you know, if you walk in His ways.
Even if you're in my room, you can change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah.
So
and not all of them are going to remain that way.
Yeah.
There are going to be many of you saved. There has been quite a few saved. I've heard some things on, you know, witnessed testimonies on YouTube or whatever, you know, that have converted.
Well, an inheritance isn't something that you ask for or decide you're going to have or something. It's something you just get. So if they're not the heirs, that's okay. You change your ways and you work and, you know, God will forgive you and you are the children of God. But until then, all of these religions, they have been generation after generation and probably have come from people who were out of God's favor. And that person themselves can go to God and have everything washed away and be a new creation. But until they choose that, without choice of them or fault of their own, they are within this path because of what has been set forth for them generation to generation. And they have no idea. They have no idea. People followed how many of those religious leaders and drank the Kool-Aid and did all of that stuff. They didn't know they were doing anything wrong. They believed that.
Jesus is the one that broke
right.
that thing with Ishmael that said, well, even if your ancestry has kind of gone the wrong way, when Jesus comes, that can all be nullified. Because any man can come to the Lord.
Right, but if I have a hard time coming against the devil, and I know it's the devil, how can somebody who has zero idea that all these horrible thoughts in their head that they think are their own. I've spent a long time thinking that I'm debating in my head and realized this last week I don't have conflicting thoughts in my head. I have my thoughts, and I very clearly have very demonic, selfish, controlling thoughts that are conflicting. And so I'm sit in debate, and I realized it when I lashed out on him, and I was like, that's not a me lash out. And so now I'm fighting against that. But I myself have thought that this is just me and things that aren't bad, just being responsible for everything or those things. But it is a demon with ideas, and that if a demon is telling me that, and I think that I should have got on my side, and I've got all these things, and I'm coming against it. I have friends who are just of the world, and they have zero idea that they don't just completely suck, and everything's horrible, and God is fake, and how can you believe in God? The world's evil, and blah, blah, blah. They have no idea that those are demons. Mm-hmm. They don't. I just pray mercy.
I think Ken is right about it. Getting your heart involved in politics is not the way to go. And yet there is a connection. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of hate speech is just very prominent in the world today. And it extends to, you know, our declaring, hey, we are right and you are wrong. That can be designated as hate speech. Get stuck in jail if you're in Canada for declaring the gospel and saying that no, the Muslim religion is an error. So I think there is safety in having that Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court, because there is sensitivity to those kinds of concerns. And probably the bigger issue is homosexuality, you know, saying, you know, expressing clearly what the Bible says on that subject can get you in trouble here in the world today. You know, but certainly there is a hate speech is just a wonderful tool for shutting people up from articulating the truth. Now, we have a good God who is going to see us through and so forth. And yet the world is a dark and difficult place.
Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then when I come and see you or only hear you about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now here I still have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So conduct yourself. Where is that? Philippians 1:27. Thank you.
And there's a key thing to this. Now, if I know that the Bible says homosexuality is wrong, and that's a truth, but that doesn't mean that I can automatically go out and start telling everybody that. You know, that's probably the difference. But if God sends me out to speak, well, then I got God on my side. And maybe I get put in jail, just like Peter and all the rest. But if he tells me to speak, then I'm going to. But to just go out and, you know, well, it's wrong, you know, I mean,
the Bible says,
then you're going to get in trouble, and God's really not going to be behind you, I don't think.
Fair enough. Amen.
For us, not necessarily those that aren't believers. It's written for the believer.
But it also says many are called and few are chosen for also. And it talks in here that he'll send you forth before wolves as sheep or the wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Mm-hmm. They'll be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Right. Right. Yeah. And it says in there too, we were just reading a parable and when the disciples said, well, why do you speak in parables? And he says, well, it is given for you to see and not for them. So seeing what you see, they will not see. And hearing what you hear, they will not hear. And I'm thinking, what the heck? If we all listen to Jingle Bells, we're all going to hear Jingle Bells. But we're not. I mean, if you're...
Some people, it means more.
Well, yeah. And when I'm reading this, I could read this to my friend who's going to take it as a nice story. But when God is working me, and I've read a lot of the same things a million times and heard it 1,000 times. And until I was willing to not look at it in the, see, I'm right, and God's showing me that I'm right. But in the, what do you mean, God? What do I need to do? What is best for my kids? What's best for my life? What can I change? Because it's not so good. And then I saw things very differently. And so I can understand why everyone could read the same Bible and still not get the same thing. Because that's not what God wants. And the kingdom of heaven, God isn't, unfortunately, every single person is not going to be there. That's not how it works. That's just not. And it's not, here isn't great, and me having nice things here isn't what he wants.
Well, I mean, Jesus said, when did they add this to the Bible? Because it's like, you've read it 400 times and never really thought about it, or your spirit never grasped hold of it, and all of a sudden your spirit's going, do you read this?
Right.
Do you see this? It's like an excitement inside of you that God's revealing this, and it's been there since the beginning, but you never let your spirit take it in. You read it from a human point of view and saying, okay, well, oh, that's nice. Like you said, it's a nice story. But when you read it from your heart with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit leading you, it's like, wow.
Or if I'm reading it to see it with my rose-colored glasses, I'm reading it to see it my way. Or that, but even what Matthew 10:34 says, think not that I came to send peace on earth, or I came to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. So this stuff can't be going on right now, and all of what's happening, it is biblical. It's not scary, weird, new. I'm not afraid of anything that anyone else is doing, or the fact that the world's definitely going to end, and if God does not send some major stuff like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah on America right now, I'd be shocked. But what I do know is that when this is over, I am going to be forever praising God. So this isn't my glory. This isn't, I'm not here for peace, good, happiness, glory, wonderful things.
There's a scripture setting that shows, or it projects, and this is where I would get more concerned than right now. It says, yeah, and there will be a time of peace. Peace will come upon the earth. Look nigh. So, if all of a sudden it gets real peaceful, you really better get close to God, because that's the end. Because after the peace comes God's judgment, you know? So, yeah, that would be great for a time. Everybody loves peace.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when this is over, when earth is done, when I'm dead, when all of these things that God has for us, or God has planned, and the world is over, and I am, we're all dead. My friends aren't worried about what they're going to be doing when they're dead, because they're dead. They want really nice things here. I don't want really nice things here. I want really nice things then, and I'm going to face what I have to face and whatever. And I may fail, and I could be beheaded and brought to somebody on a platter. Who knows? That might be God's plan for my life. But even if all of these things fail, no, but maybe it is.
God has to get through me first.
Right. But even if all these things on earth fail and go away and I lose in court, and even if Justin ended up with my kids 100%, or I lost everything I own, this earth isn't where my glory is.
Well, you mentioned something. It's, you know, if you pick up the Bible to read it so it proves what you know, pretty tough to say you're approaching God with humility.
Right. And I've done that since I was, I mean, I read a, would read the Bible and say, I know God, and these are all the things that know. But I also didn't read the Bible for a very long time. I just, I mean, I played in my house, or I was a kid, or I whatever. But I've never, I've sought Google way faster than I've sought the Bible for answers on a lot of things my whole life until the last few months.
And this is where Grandpa would say glory. That is our prayer for our children.
Yes.
How are you doing?
And our children.
Good. Tired?
He's
tired. There's a scripture somewhere, the Old Testament, it says, happy is the people whose God, happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. I'm not sure where it's at, but happy is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
And if he's not, it's not happy.
Have to wait for the happiness.
But there have been times in the history of nations where God was the Lord.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe I'd like to see it.
I think if that ever happens again, which I think it's happening right now, it's just not, you know, a government nation. It's a nation of people that exceeds boundary lines that are set by people in offices. You know, we are the nation. Followers of Christ are the nation. And we are happy.
But if our nation was good, the devil would just be working harder. Like if America was doing wonderful, those are the times that the devil, it was good. And this is the product of the good because he had to get involved. He cannot, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not let God win. He's not going to rest until God defeats him, and that is the end.
I have been convinced for a number of years that a major revival is going to take place. I've been convinced of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that maybe that is part of my problem, because I see the devil so predominant, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think yes, there has to be a revival, but I think where I don't want to go is, but I don't want to see what that causes in the natural. Well, it will cause something in the natural, you know. But even if there's a major revival, that doesn't necessarily mean that this whole country turns.
No.
It means God harvests his people that have a heart for him.
But what if that major revival is the end times? And it says you'll look around you and the evil will be no more. So what if that major revival is heaven? The earth, he's going to first pluck up everything that is bad. He didn't say, like, everything's going to be whatever. So if he's going to pluck up everything that is bad and wrong, that would include every single thing that is against the Bible, right? So maybe that is the revival. It's just not what we think it is. But maybe his revival is for his people to be able to worship freely, and he has to destroy and end everything else that's going on. And that may look very wrong to us. But luckily for me, what the gay people or anyone else are doing in their house, 0% affects my eternal life. Zero. It may put more pressure on my worship, my praise, my household, but my household is saying God separated people for a reason in the Tower of Babel and all of that stuff. We went through and read all of that just because Babel is my kid's last name. And social media and all of that stuff right now, over the period of time when our world has gotten very evil, is reconnecting everyone. And it says he disconnected them because of what they were doing, and he sent them in separate lands, so we couldn't all just communicate. So all of this technology advances and things like that, I'm pretty convinced right now has a lot more to do with Antichrist, end times, mark of the beast, know them by their name, all of that stuff.
World government.
Yeah.
Keith, you were referring to Psalms 33:12, where it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance."
So maybe that's the nation he will create of us after. Heaven and earth will pass away.
I think, you know, for what that's worth, you know, thoughts aren't that vital, but I think that Joel chapter 2 is something that is right on the horizon. And where it says God is going to utter his voice before his army. And before them is a Garden of Eden, and behind them is a desolate wasteland. And that would be a real major revival. But it's like what doesn't happen there isn't going to ever happen. It's going to be a kind of an end time thing. Maybe, if I see it right. Maybe I don't see it right.
I don't think God's revival is dependent on the composition of the Supreme Court, though.
No.
Mm-hmm. He might use it.
Say what? Interesting, the last one to get into spirit film, though. That we know of. We just have to say there are other justices for us. But nonetheless,
you know, it can be buying time, you know,
yeah.
And whatever. It's the guidance.
God is in control.
Thank the Lord. And he has a plan. Mm-hmm.
A plan. And, you know, all we're really responsible for is ourselves. I think in today's age, it's really easy to get swept up into groupthink or the mob or whatever you want to say. You know, social media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just this whole press, and you, as was brought up, you just have to stand against the things that you know are not of God when they're pressing against you because you know they're not of God.
Right.
You know, like, a phrase I often say is, just because something's legal doesn't mean it's not a sin.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, the only time to speak out against it is, as Ken said, if you're led to speak out against sin, even though it's lawful, then, you know, I'd be throwing fleeces out. I'd really want to hear clearly from God. I'd say, you want me to do what now? You know this is lawful. You said if it's lawful, then it's okay. Yeah, it might be lawful, but I want you to speak out against it. Okay, then. Is that a
chicken? Some chicken.
Oh, okay.
You guys want some, too?
Well, it doesn't matter. I
love you all.